This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. We begin with the latest conversation in our monthly series, Chatting with the Chancellor. Earlier this month, I sat down for a one-on-one conversation with Dr. Lori Mann Bruce, our chancellor here on our campus, the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Our conversations with Dr. Bruce, which air each month here on Scenic Roots, are recorded in the podcasting space at the Gary W. Rollins College of Business in Fletcher Hall. Chancellor Bruce, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Same here. Let's start with EPB and Quantum. EPB and UTC are deepening their partnership on Quantum. With new funding from EPB, UTC will, quote, add more faculty, staff, and students on campus for quantum initiatives and education over the next 5 years, expand research into quantum algorithms, machine learning, networking, and sensing, and advance quantum research and commercialization efforts to enhance energy systems and power grid resilience. How does this new funding build on the existing partnership between UTC and EPB on quantum?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it might be helpful if I put the EPB grant into context with kind of the larger effort at the university on quantum. So if we go back 4 years ago to 2022, UTC made a very significant investment of $3 million. We set aside $3 million of our operating budget and set that aside to establish a university-level quantum center. So that was in 2022. And then in November 2022, EPB and a company called Qubitekk, they announced that they were going to officially create the nation's first commercial quantum network. So that's very significant. If you go back 4 years ago, we set aside money, established a quantum center. EPB partners with Qubitekk, comes out very boldly, we're going to establish the nation's first commercial quantum network. And since that time, you know, and that was a partnership on both sides. And as part of that establishment of that network, we became the first American university to have a node on a quantum network. And a node just means you can tap into and kind of control, transmit, and receive information along that quantum network. So since that time, our R&D efforts in quantum have really grown. So in those 4 years, our research group that's really dedicated to quantum has grown to about 25 people. They have secured funding close to $14 million off of that $3 million investment. So that's pretty significant. They've had a near 5-to-1 return on investment for that funding. So they've gotten National Science Foundation grants, grants from NIST, funding from TVA to work on grid security with quantum. And so this most recent funding from EPB will be $850,000 for 4 years. And that will really be used to kind of translate some of the research that we've been doing into more commercially viable, I don't want to say a product, but sometimes it is a product, but commercially viable technology. So the focus of this funding from EPB will be really focused on commercialization of some of that R&D and just enhancement of what we're currently doing.
How will people see this funding unfold in the next few years here on our campus at UTC?
Well, they'll see definitely probably more impact on the R&D in terms of commercialization and economic development, more partnerships with companies. We have partnerships with private industry right now. We have projects with places like Lufthansa. We have projects with Deloitte, TVA, ORNL. So I think you will see a transition over the next 3 or 4 years to the D side of R&D, you know, a little less on the research side, which that'll still be strong. There's a lot of research still to do, but an enhancement on the development side and more, I would say, more opportunities for some of our students to do internships at companies around quantum. It's so new. Those don't really exist yet. So we're going to be working on the commercialization, but the partnerships with companies to create more internships and infuse this technology into existing industry to help them stay on the cutting edge and stay competitive.
With that in mind, how does the work on quantum in Chattanooga and here at UTC align with or is distinct from what is known as K-Quantum, the Knoxville quantum accelerator recently announced by the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, aligned with the Tennessee Quantum Initiative?
Yeah, so I would say that if you look at quantum, so I hear universities say, oh, we do quantum. And when I really start asking deeper questions, they might have a physics professor who does quantum physics. Well, I took a class in quantum physics 40 years ago, right? So when we say quantum, when we hear people say, oh, they do quantum, we have to be really careful and say, what exactly does that mean? Is that basic quantum physics? Or is that the use of quantum physics to design and create new advanced materials? Is it the use of those materials to create devices? Is it the devices that you're going to use to build a computer? Is it using the computer to actually run algorithms? So you go all the way from the basic physics to materials to devices to quantum computing to quantum networking. UT Knoxville has historically been more focused on that material science device side, where UT Chattanooga is more focused on the information science of quantum. So how do you send information back and forth along a quantum network? How do you build a quantum network? We take for granted things like routers and repeaters, things that we might not totally understand, but we know that's part of a regular internet network. Those are not necessarily been fully developed and tested for quantum networks. So UTC is more focused on the hardware and the software side of networking and computing in quantum.
Let's talk about the Tennessee Valley Corridor National Summit. You gave the opening presentation at this year's Tennessee Valley Corridor National Summit in Chattanooga. The annual summit brings together leaders in science, technology, defense, and public policy, from members of Congress to academic institutions such as UTC to government contractors from across the Southeast. Among the topics at this year's summit, quantum, AI, nuclear energy, national security, space, and defense. From your perspective, what were a few takeaways from the summit?
Yeah, well, the summit was very exciting. Congressman Fleischman was our host. He was the host throughout the summit. We had a lot of elected officials speaking at the summit. We had researchers, university leaders, economic developers, industry leaders. So it was a very information-rich summit, I will say. It was a very high level on those topics that you mentioned, quantum, AI, nuclear energy, national security, and space and defense. And why those topics, right? Really, why those topics? Well, it really goes back to what is the Tennessee Valley Corridor. The TVC is a nonprofit economic development organization that's really dedicated to promoting science, technology, and federal investments across 13 congressional districts that span across several states, Tennessee, Alabama, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Virginia. So really, when people talk about the Tennessee Valley Corridor, the heart of that corridor is kind of Huntsville to Oak Ridge. Well, if you think about Huntsville to Oak Ridge, Chattanooga is right in the middle. So we're very fortunate to have the summit here in Chattanooga this year. And so when you think about that corridor, it represents a massive job and economic development footprint. When you look at Huntsville to Oak Ridge, you're talking over 80 federal agencies, NASA, Missile Defense Command, FBI, National Lab. So you think about there's 80 federal agencies that represent over 150,000 jobs across that corridor. And so the summit is really focused on, what are the science technologies? What are the disruptors to those industries? What are the things that those industries need to be really focused on so that they stay competitive, so that we attract those kinds of jobs to this region and we don't lose those jobs? So, you know, so when I was looking at the themes of the summit, listen to how heavy and pretty ambitious those themes are, right? Quantum, AI, nuclear energy, cybersecurity, national security, space and defense. You know, those are really ambitious themes. And behind each one of them, I ask the same question. Does this region have the talent? Does it have the research capacity? And does it have the partnerships necessary to lead in those areas? You know, I think UT Chattanooga can answer yes to those questions. We are a pipeline of talent. We have very strong R&D in those areas, and we have lots of partnerships with federal labs, with private companies. And so those partnerships were one of the biggest takeaways for me from the summit, the importance of the partnerships to ensure that everyone in that corridor, all of the communities in that corridor from Huntsville to Oak Ridge, are competitive and drawing in businesses, retaining businesses, and providing job opportunities for our citizens.
Given all that, talk more about how UTC is a player within the corridor now and for the potential opportunities ahead.
Yeah. I spoke at the summit and I talked about how when students come to UTC, they're really seeking, in my mind, three things often. They want opportunity for a good education and a future career. They want a career where they have purpose and impact. They want to know that what they're doing matters. And to me, that gets back to the heart of the Tennessee Valley Corridor. You know, when we attract students to UTC, they may come here for UTC, but the region, whether it's Chattanooga or Huntsville or Oak Ridge, that's what's going to keep them here. The job opportunities is what's going to keep them here. And so UT Chattanooga, of course, is going to provide a lot of R&D support and partnerships with companies. But at the end of the day, our primary mission is to provide the talent that drives all of those industries.
Let's talk about new Chattanoogans. Most newcomers to the Chattanooga area in the past 5 years came from elsewhere in Tennessee, but among people relocating from out of state, most came here from California. That's the finding of a recent report titled, Where Y'all From? By Dr. Howard Wall of UTC's Center for Regional Economic Research at the Gary W. Rollins College of Business. Among the factors, the pandemic, of course, rising prices everywhere, and the cost of living between here and elsewhere. And Dr. Wall suggests some people looking for a different political home. How does the work of the center deliver on UTC's mission, both for the campus and the community, by providing clear snapshots of the economic trends that we're living in?
Well, I found Dr. Wall's report fascinating. You know, I wasn't surprised that most people moving to Chattanooga are coming from elsewhere in Tennessee. I was a little surprised that we didn't have more coming from Georgia. So that was a little bit surprising. But what really caught my attention was this migration of people from California into the state of Tennessee and into Chattanooga specifically. You know, we hear a lot about people leaving states like California, but Chattanooga has attracted far more newcomers from California than Florida or Texas. And that's even after accounting for how many people are really leaving those states. It's not just because, well, more people are leaving California. When, you know, when we normalize to the amount of people leaving, we disproportionately receiving people from California. One of the most important ways that our University Center for Regional Economic Research delivers on UTC's mission, because that was your question, is by really turning complex economic data into practical insights that help both the university and the broader community understand what's really happening in our region. And to me, that's exactly what Dr. Wall did with this report. He took really complex data and turned it into a report that's easy to understand and easy to understand what's the impact to this area. I love the name of it, Where Y'all From? I can hear myself saying that.
See, I figured if I said it, then you would say.
Yeah, and I say it with gusto. Where Y'all From? So, you know, it's a report that really provides clear evidence-based snapshot of demographic and economic trends. You know, rather than relying on anecdotes, well, I have one neighbor, I know a person. This is real data. So it's data-driven, evidence-based information that can really help city leaders, businesses, policymakers, and just regular residents understand who's moving here, where are they coming from, and what are the factors that are influencing those decisions. I think that UTC, we are a public serving institution, and we should be a source of trusted expertise. And that, to me, is what this report exemplifies. It's taking real data-driven, evidence-based information, and then providing that to the public in ways that the public can digest and actually use to make informed decisions.
How does this report bolster where UTC is already committed under its new strategic plan? And what's one piece of data, beyond the one that you already shared, that surprised you?
Well, if we think about our strategic plan, one of our five pillars is innovative and impactful research. To me, this is the kind of research that can have a lot of impact because it helps us understand ourselves as a community. But if I look in my strategic plan, our strategic plan under that pillar, there's an objective under there, objective 3.1, that says we're going to create and support research centers that address critical societal and workforce needs in the Chattanooga region and beyond. So for a community, the value of this report is very significant, and that's where it gets into the impact. Population shifts affect everything from housing demand, workforce development, transportation, education, economic growth. So reports like this that help us identify trends, such as this increased migration from California, it really helps guide our planning, our decision-making, and the public and the private sectors. So the whole report was fascinating to me. It was very eye-opening to me. I do hear a lot about people moving from other states, and I tend to think of them moving to Nashville because, you know, Nashville has a big boom. It was very insightful and very educational for me to read this about the migration of people from other states into Chattanooga.
Let's talk about the Honors College. Dr. Sean Bingham is the next dean of UTC's Honors College starting on July 1st. He comes to Chattanooga from Colorado, where he served as director of the Honors Program at Colorado State University. With 20 years of experience in higher education, Dr. Bingham is no stranger to the South through his prior leadership roles at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and the University of South Florida. Dr. Linda Frost, who led the Honors College since 2013, continues her work in UTC's Department of English. Talk about Dr. Bingham's background and how his new role at UTC aligns with the new strategic plan.
We're very excited to welcome Dr. Bingham as the next dean of the Honors College. As you said, he brings more than 20 years of experience being a faculty member and leading honors programs, with his most recent position at Colorado State, where he was the director of their honors program that served 1,800 honor students. That's very impressive. The thing that I appreciated about, or several things about Dr. Bingham I appreciated, but one of the things was his focus on connecting academics to research and community engagement and overall student development, helping students develop what I call the soft skills. You know, they're learning the discipline and the knowledge in the classroom, but sometimes it's those extracurricular activities that honors often provides that helps the students really develop their leadership, their communication skills, their teamwork skills, their work ethic, project management, time management, all of those things. So he really sees it as a holistic approach and a very ambitious way of how honors can do that. He's a great fit to UTC because his experience does align with our strategic plan. Pillar one in our strategic plan is all around student success and student outcomes. And honors plays a really important role in attracting talented students to UTC, but also supporting them and helping them retain and really helping create very innovative educational experiences that helps those students thrive. And I'll tell you one more thing that stood out about him, because I love this, was his commitment to making honors more accessible. He has been a strong advocate for creating pathways for transfer students to participate in honors programs. Many universities, when you look at the honors program, if you don't start the honors program as a first semester freshman, you're really kind of shut out. There's not a pathway in. He has really, a lot of his career focused on students who might have been here a year or students that just transferred in. How do you integrate them and give them on-ramps into the honors program so that it's a little bit more accessible to more students? So I really appreciate that about him.
Dr. Bingham has emphasized the Honors College's reach across campus and beyond coursework. What does that mean for UTC's research profile and its ties to the community as the university marks its 140th academic year?
Well, as UTC continues to grow our research profile, you know, the Honors College can play a really important role in helping make sure undergraduate students are a part of that recipe and that we don't leave them out. We don't become so focused on doctoral students and faculty research that we make sure that we always involve our undergraduate students in those research activities. And honors can be a really, really great method for doing that and a great avenue for doing that. One of the things I appreciated about Dr. Bingham's approach to honors, he really sees honors as extending beyond the classroom. One of the things he talked about was the fact that Chattanooga is not just a backdrop to our university. It's a place where our students can actively learn through direct engagement, community partners, very practical research activities. I really love the way he framed it. Chattanooga is not a backdrop. Chattanooga is a part of our university. And so honors can be a great way to extend into that. You know, as we're coming up on our 140th celebration that you mentioned, you know, that combination of research and experiential learning and community engagement can be a great way to celebrate a lot of the things that we've grown and achieved over those 140 years. And I'll give a little teaser. Over the next year, we'll be celebrating a lot of things around the number 140, and a lot of it will be about highlighting high-profile kind of R&D projects and research and impact that our research has had, not just on Chattanooga, but on the nation over the last 140 years.
Let's talk about advancement. UTC has named Dr. Lee Williams Weldon as its next Vice Chancellor of Advancement and Executive Director of the UC Foundation. Dr. Weldon brings more than 15 years of leadership experience in her field as she comes to Chattanooga from Ohio, where she most recently served as Senior Associate Vice President of Development for Miami University and Chief Development Officer for the Miami University Foundation. She is also no stranger to the South through prior advancement leadership roles at the University of Alabama. Here at UTC, Dr. Weldon will steer fundraising strategy, alumni engagement, and philanthropic partnerships to support the university. Talk more about Dr. Weldon's background and the work ahead for her and the team as she arrives at UTC after three record-breaking years of fundraising for this campus.
Yeah, we're thrilled. We've been conducting a national search for a new Vice Chancellor for Advancement. We're so excited that we found Dr. Weldon and then she accepted the position to come to UTC. She brings decades of experience in advancement for higher ed. And people listening might say, what does that mean, advancement for higher ed? Advancement is about, really about building relationships. It's about building relationships and maintaining and cultivating relationships with our alumni, because under advancement is where alumni affairs resides. It's about building relationships with friends of the university who want to give to the university and have impact and give back to the university. And so it's about cultivating donors and ensuring that we're good stewards of those donations that they give. So Dr. Weldon comes into that role with a lot of experience. One of the things I want to just kind of remind people, she's coming to us from Miami University. That is not University of Miami. So Miami University is in Ohio. University of Miami is in Florida. So she's coming to us from Ohio. But as you said, she has a long career, years of career in the South. She's a native of Alabama. She's worked at University of Alabama, Samford University. So she's had this little stint up in the Midwest, but I can tell you she's anxious to get back to the South. And she really does come in at an exciting time. We've had 3 years, as you said, of record-breaking fundraising. And so she's coming in with pretty big shoes to fill, but she has a lot of experience. You know, she led a team of nearly 50 advancement professionals at Miami University, and their annual fundraising efforts was $80 to $100 million a year, and they played a key role in a $1 billion comprehensive campaign. So she thinks big, she goes big, and that's what we're excited about. We're excited about her helping us move to the next level in our advancement.
Since Dr. Weldon starts at UTC on July 16th, she'll be hitting the ground running with Founders Week in September and Mox Give Day in October.
Yeah, and the 140th celebration, right? So there will be a lot of celebration around that 140th year, and a lot of our celebration will be about relationships, and that's where advancement will play in. So engaging with our alumni, our living alumni who are going to be helping us celebrate this 140th anniversary this fall, that'll be a big part of her division's activities. And I'll give you another little teaser about our 140th celebration. We are planning to have next year 140 campus engagement events. So it's our 140th anniversary, and we're going to have 140 campus engagement events. Some of those will be events on campus that we draw the community into, and some of those community engagement events will be in the community, where we go out into the community as students and faculty and staff. And then one of the things that we're going to really lean into, 1886, because that was our founding year. So add a zero to 1886, and you get 18,860, and that's the number of community service hours we're committed to do in this next year. We're going to do 18,860 community service hours during our celebration of our 140th anniversary, and Dr. Weldon will be helping us lead a lot of those activities.
The countdown is already underway.
I've put it out there. Now we have to do it. We're committed to doing it. We're going to make it happen.
And we'll be talking more about that in future conversations here with chatting with the Chancellor on Scenic Routes on WUTC. Let's talk about Hamid Andalib. Hamid Andalib, a nationally known entrepreneur and a UTC alum, will teach entrepreneurship here on our campus. Starting in spring 2027, he will serve as an adjunct instructor for the course titled Entrepreneurship, the Mindset and Skill Set in the Gary W. Rollins College of Business. Born in Iran, he arrived in the United States as a 17-year-old with limited resources. Within 5 years, he earned a degree in electrical engineering from UTC while working his way through school. Shortly after graduation, he purchased The Loft, then the largest restaurant in Tennessee, the first step in an entrepreneurial career that took him to Silicon Valley and beyond. Also, he recently received the Ellis Island Medal of Honor, which recognizes individuals whose lives and work embody the American spirit of sacrifice, leadership, and opportunity. As we near the 250th anniversary of the United States of America on July 4th, talk about his story as part of the story of UTC and the story of this country.
Anybody who's ever met Hamid will know he is a gentleman among gentlemen. He is a treasure. He is a treasure of our university. And in many ways, he's the perfect example of both the American dream and the transformative power of higher education. He was telling me that when he arrived in the U.S. from Iran, he was 17 years old. He had very limited financial resources, very limited support network, and he worked his way through school. He started out at Georgia Tech. He didn't have enough money to finish his 4-year degree there, so he did a 2-year degree, got an associate's degree, and started working in a restaurant there in Atlanta. So he was working to make extra money and met a person from Chattanooga, and it was a restaurant owner. And he is so engaging. Even today, he's so engaging. I can only imagine how engaging he was as a young, 18, 19-year-old working in this restaurant. Well, this Chattanoogan said, you need to come to Chattanooga and work in my restaurant. And he did. He moved from Atlanta, not really knowing anybody, moved to Chattanooga and started working in a restaurant, and then worked his way through finishing an electrical engineering degree at UTC. But because he was working in a restaurant, he kind of understood that business. He kept working in the restaurant business. But he built an extraordinary entrepreneurial career. He purchased the restaurant, as you said, and then he was enamored with the idea of loyalty programs, like airline loyalty programs. So he said, can't we have a loyalty program for a restaurant? So he went and worked with a bank to get kind of these little gift cards, gift certificate cards. He was one of the first people to create, you know how you can go in Walgreens now and buy gift cards for Cracker Barrel, and he was one of the first people to have those. And so he built that business. It was called VIP Gift. He built that business up until its annual revenue was over $120 million a year. He eventually sold that business. What makes him so special in my mind is he has never forgotten where his journey began. He loves UTC. He has remained deeply connected to the university. He supports scholarships, education initiatives, community causes. He is a very service-oriented individual. And, you know, as we approach America's 250th anniversary, his story really does remind me of what makes this country strong. People, regardless of their background, coming here with dreams, hard work, and a little bit of luck and some opportunity that really create pathways, and then they give back. Most people in those categories really do give back, and it's befitting that he recently received the Ellis Island Medal of Honor, which recognizes individuals whose lives reflect service, leadership, and opportunity. And I don't know if I've even shared this with Hamid, but I looked back. Guess what year the Statue of Liberty was dedicated to the U.S.?
1886,
the founding year of our university. So here he is at the Statue of Liberty receiving the Ellis Island Medal of Honor and came here and studied at the university that was founded the year the Statue of Liberty was dedicated. I just think that is such a beautiful full circle story.
That is synchronicity. Let's talk about dual enrollment. UTC has announced dual enrollment partnerships with two local charter schools, Chattanooga Charter School of Excellence and Chattanooga Preparatory School. The partnerships, the first of their kind between UTC and local charter schools, will expand opportunities for students at those schools to start earning college credit while still in high school through UTC courses on campus and online. What's unique about each of these schools and how they will partner with UTC?
Yeah, so each of these schools, this is the first agreement that we've gone into with charter schools to do dual enrollment. You often hear about dual enrollment in public schools, but these are the first dual enrollment partnerships between UTC and charter schools. And I feel very strongly about dual enrollment, that the university view dual enrollment. Obviously, we view it as a way to introduce students to our university, and we hope that they'll then continue after graduation and study with us. But I really want the university to view dual enrollment also as a way that we serve and we give back, and we help high schools have more diversity of course offerings for their students because we can help provide those courses and deliver those courses. So, for example, Chattanooga Preparatory School, they're going to be offering statistics courses and Spanish courses through UTC as dual enrollment, and those are courses they wouldn't have been able to offer to their students without using dual enrollment. So I really view it as a way that we as a university can serve and give back to high schools in the K-12 system. But it also is really important for the students not just to have a variety of courses, but for them to get a chance to take a college-level course, build their confidence and their academic abilities, and this is important, potentially reduce both the time and cost required to ultimately get their college degree. So cost savings is a big part of it, too. So we want the students to have a great experience, earn that college credit early, gain confidence so they know I can do college work. They can picture themselves at a university and then hopefully to UTC. If they go somewhere else, that's fine too, but we would love for them to come to UTC to study for their ultimate university degree.
How will these partnerships improve accessibility and affordability for students in high school who could later attend UTC as full-time students after high school?
Yeah, the financial benefits, I just don't want people to overlook that because the state has a scholarship program. So you can take up to so many dual credit courses and you get scholarship. We make sure that the tuition that we charge for dual enrollment courses is not above that scholarship amount. So when a student takes a dual enrollment course, they can use their Tennessee, their state scholarship, and it fully funds the tuition for that college course. So number one, they're getting college courses, quote unquote, for free, right? Because the scholarship's covering it. And then we work very hard to ensure that whatever textbooks we use in those courses are very cost effective. So their cost is extremely minimal. And they're taking those courses early while they're in high school, which is then cutting down on the time that's going to take them to ultimately get their university degree. And so the cost savings can be very significant for a student.
And let's talk about Dr. Jerry Hale. At the end of this month, Dr. Gerald Jerry Hale, UTC's provost and senior vice chancellor for academic affairs, will retire. Hired in March of 2019, which was also the same month that I was hired, by the way. Dr. Hale joined the campus with more than 35 years of leadership experience in higher education. UTC's Dr. Matt Matthews, Associate Vice President for Academic Affairs for the UT system, will serve as interim provost during a nationwide hiring search for Dr. Hale's successor. As we celebrate Dr. Hale's career here at UTC and his retirement, please reflect on his legacy for this campus and how you worked with him during your first year here and his last year here.
Yeah, so Jerry, I just call him Jerry, Dr. Hale, Provost Hale, he's really made a real and lasting impact on UTC, and I will be forever grateful that my first year of chancellor, I got to work with him as provost. You said he came here in 2019 with 35 years of experience. One of the things I love about Jerry is that in his heart, he's still a faculty member. He's an educator. He was a longtime professor of communications, and you can really see that background in the way he leads. He's a clear thinker. He's a strong communicator, and he's someone that makes sure people understand not just what we're doing, but why we're doing it. So that background as a professor of communications, I see that really play out in very positive ways in his leadership as a provost. And he's been really important to the university through some very challenging times, right? He came here in 2019, so he was our academic leader during the pandemic. And no time was communication and steady communication, clear, confident, reassuring communication was never more important than during the pandemic. So even though I was not here, I am sure he led very well during that time. You know, on a personal level, I've really enjoyed working with Jerry. He has a wicked sense of humor, dry, quick, and often exactly what's needed in a time of a tense moment, right? And so his humor paired with his professionalism and his deep care for the institution. He cares deeply about UTC, but he just cares deeply about higher ed. And he never, ever forgets that the student is why we're here. The student is ultimately why we're here. And he's somebody that people trust and enjoy working with. And I know he's got a lot of hiking ahead of him. He's got a lot of plans for his retirement, but he will be deeply missed here.
Indeed. And we'll leave it there. Chancellor Bruce, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Catch all our conversations at our website, wutc.org, on the WUTC app, and wherever you get your podcasts.